NATO military vehicles driving on a road in the eastern part of Latvia as they participate in one of the regular military drills in this region. They've stopped in Gulbene. It's a town of around 8,000 people, less than 100 kilometers from the border with Russia.
This is something quite new for us here in our small town, that we can see our allies' military equipment.
That's Jānis Garšnieks, a 54-year-old resident of Gulbene. He's among the locals who have come to the city's town square to see the combat vehicles on display.
We have a small country, and a small country can't stand on its own in the event of an attack. The presence of NATO forces gives us a sense of security. It's a guarantee that we're not alone, and the world can see that. It ensures that the events of 1940, when the Soviets occupied Latvia, will not happen again.
The Soviet occupation of Latvia lasted for 50 years, and it was only in the beginning of the 1990s that the country regained its independence. Among other things, Latvians saw a massive influx of Russian speakers during Soviet rule. Today, it has the largest Russian-speaking minority in the Baltic states, around 500,000 people. That's nearly a fourth of the whole population. And what's more, mixed families are a widespread phenomenon here. Jānis, an ethnic Latvian, is a case in point. Though Jānis is not officially married, he describes his 58-year-old partner, Tamara Pupova, his wife. They've been living together for more than 20 years now.
I came to live in Latvia with my parents when I was 10 years old, and I've been living here ever since.
Though Tamara was educated here, she's the only one in her family that doesn't have Latvian citizenship. Tamara is a non-citizen, an official status in the country held by almost half of all Russian speakers. In order to get a Latvian passport, Tamara would have to pass an exam in Latvian, but she doesn't want to do that.
I've lived here all my life, and I've paid taxes for the past 37 years. So why should I take the Latvian language test, which I have to pay for? That's why I won't take the exam.
Tamara and Jānis also watch news on Russian TV channels that often broadcast hostile propaganda about Latvia, the European Union and the United States. Tamara says it's hard to tell who is telling the truth on TV, for example about events in Ukraine. However, although Latvian and Russian speakers haven't really blended together, Tamara says that both communities get along well with each other. That's an opinion shared by Amon Cheskin, a lecturer in Central and East European Studies at the University of Glasgow in Scotland.
They consider themselves often European Russians or Latvian Russians, Baltic Russians, and they are often very proud of the fact that they have this European existence. Now, their relationship with Latvia is very complicated. Some of these people have great animosity towards Latvia. Some feel great affection and loyalty towards Latvia.
Protests about the six Russian men arrested in Tallinn have now spread to the neighbouring country of Latvia.
Since Russia annexed Crimea more than 2 years ago, there have been concerns that the Kremlin will use local Russian speakers to stir up trouble in the Baltic states. Media reports have pointed the finger at angry Russian-speaking separatists who participate in social unrest, especially in the eastern part of Latvia near the Russian border. But according to a new study, these fears are largely unfounded. It's true there are issues which can be exploited, particularly when it comes to how history is seen. Most Russian speakers see the Soviets as liberators and not the occupiers, as Latvians do. Ieva Bērziņa is from the National Defense Academy of Latvia and one of the authors of the study.
What we have to do is become aware that these different opinions exist, and we have to find ways to talk to each other by acknowledging the fact that we think differently. We have to learn how to accept a different opinion and talk about it calmly.
Bērziņa says it's not Russia or terrorism which Latvians and Russian speakers see as the main threat to their society. It's their day-to-day problems like low wages, lack of jobs and insufficient social benefits. That's why, she says, politicians have to do all they can to improve the economy and welfare if they really want both communities to rise above rifts in the future. As Amon Cheskin points out, at the end of the day, the economy is at the heart of harmony in any society. Jadars Jēlzis, DW, Riga.